Oh, where to start? The 2016 U.S. Open is in the books. And let's be honest, we can go about 1,000 different directions in it here on Golf News Net Live, as we don't have to play on Monday. That is probably the ultimate highlight of what was a crazy Sunday, a wild and wacky weekend. Everything got done in time. And probably the happiest guy other than Dustin Johnson in all of this is Shane Lowry, whose third round lead ends up evaporating into a final round 76. But so much to get into, and we will discuss the good before we get into the bad. I'm Will Haskett, joined by Golf News Net founder, and he's the man. He's Ryan Ballingy, who's been there all week at Oakmont. He's going to turn the lights off. They've given him a set of keys as he leaves the building tonight. Ryan, I guess we'll go good things first. The monkey is off the back. Dustin Johnson wins. And before we get into all of the hullabaloo that was how he went about winning, it was really his week. He was the best golfer from the beginning to the end when it was all said and done. He's a deserving champion, and hopefully history will remember it as such.
And I think it should be remembered that way. I mean, to shoot 4 under par here, aggregate 276, the lowest score, and aggregate, not against par, but aggregate in a major championship here. I mean, that's heady stuff. I don't care whether or not this golf course is somewhat softened on Thursday and Friday. The guy to play basically 36 holes on Friday and then finish, around on Saturday. That was not, come back on Sunday, play a marathon day today. To do what he did with what was dangling over his head, and I know we'll talk about that, I think is remarkable. And I think, in a weird sense, it is going to be the best thing that ever happened to Dustin Johnson, what happened here today.
Yeah, and I want to get big picture with it, I think, later in this, as we'll sort of come full circle as it relates to Dustin Johnson winning this United States Open. But to me, Ryan, when I think to today and the fallout of this victory for DJ, it was symbolic in so many ways with how he went down to it. We'll get to the rules situation in a minute, which I think is also part of that symbolism. But really, it has to do with the fact he had to gut check himself no matter what the circumstances were around him. And a year removed from what happened on the 72nd hole at Chambers Bay, for him to stripe another drive and then hit a great iron shot and then pound in the putt, I think if we just focus on that as the signature moment, if that's the snapshot we take away, there were a lot of demons that were exercised when that putt dropped.
I think so, too. And it was, I thought the way he finished it out was like a guy who had done this a lot of times before, that he knew yep. he was going to win, that he knew this was his time. And the drive that he hit on 18 to put it between that thin fairway at that point, and that's where the fairway gets thinnest on 18, and he stuck it right there, and then he stuck it in the USGA space to 3 feet with that 6-iron in the last. And I mean, that was incredible to watch. I had no expectation that would have been the case, but I would have seen it no other way for him to finish off his first major in exactly the way that he plays golf, aggressively and with raw power. And it was really cool to see.
The history books will say that it was 4 under, that it was 276, that it was a final round 69. If I were to chisel it on my wall here, Ryan, it will be a final round 68. It will be 275. It will be 5 under par. It did not matter when it came down to it that he was indeed assessed a penalty when it was all said and done. I thought it was a ridiculous lip service to a national audience that the USGA said that Dustin Johnson was okay with everything. Well, of course he was okay with everything. He'd won the gosh darn tournament by the time you told him that you were going to slap a penalty on him. It was a comedy of errors. It was uncomfortable. It was odd. It was ridiculous. It has everybody from Jack Nicklaus to Rory McIlroy up in arms with how everything was handled. It will come back to Dustin Johnson won this golf tournament. He's a major champion. He won the 2016 United States Open. But the USGA could not have looked worse on a Sunday than they did today.
They looked terrible. They embarrassed the sport today. And I could be meaner than that, but they yeah. embarrassed the sport today. They hung over this guy's head, not just for the final 7 holes. They hung this over this guy's head for longer I mean, they could have, it should not have mattered after Pete Johnson talked to the initial rules official and that they agreed that he did not cause the golf ball to move on the fifth green. And that should have been the end of it. And instead, the USGA tried to go on television and explain itself in just muttering fashion, in stumbling, fumbling fashion, why they were reviewing this, why they thought that Johnson might be penalized, basically hinting the entire way, not so subtly, that he was going to be penalized.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they were all that coy about it. I mean, they made it pretty clear, we're leaning toward a penalty here. And I don't know what Johnson's read on it is. He's in the media center right now saying, well, he doesn't really care all that much now that he's won by three strokes with the difference three or four. But I'm sure it mattered then, and I don't know what read he got from the official as to whether or not there was a high probability of him getting the extra stroke. But it didn't seem like from Austin Johnson's perspective and caddy whether they knew they were going to get the stroke test.
Yeah.
So for him to do this, to play these seven holes with that dangling over his head, knowing basically he kind of had to play King Kong or volleyball roles, he had to win by two, that's remarkable to me given his history in this championship. And maybe, just maybe, that made him play a little bit better because the enemy wasn't himself anymore. The enemy was USGA.
Yeah. Well, no, and I think that's kind of what it gets back to. In a case of Dustin Johnson, and I tweeted this out, Ryan, that I think it was the perfect storm for DJ to win. Not only did he win, not only did he showcase his incredible talent, not only did he prove that he's the most athletic human being to probably ever play the sport of golf, and he's changed the way that the sport has been played. But let's be real here for a second. Dustin Johnson isn't the most likable guy amongst his peers or even really amongst fans. Fans don't really know what to do with DJ. They love to see the way that he hits the golf ball, but he's not a huge marketing sort of guy outside of the power. And he became such a prohibitive protagonist today. He gained so many fans because of the fact that he was walking towards getting jobbed if he had not been able to pull it out the way that he did. He's given the ultimate mental hurdle for somebody who has never been able to jump over the mental hurdles when it comes to the back nine of a major. You could not have written a better script for Dustin Johnson to sprint across the finish line than the one that the USGA sort of handed to him, no matter how asinine it may have ended up being.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And then it does not mean we should let the USGA off the hook. I remain steadfast about that.
Yeah.
However, they accidentally, they created an enemy for Johnson. They created an enemy for the fans.
Yeah.
And when Johnson spoke to Joe Buck after the trophy presentation, and Buck alluded to the penalty hanging over his head, the fans erupted with booze.
Yeah.
They're still mad, even though their guy, the guy that turned into their guy, won.
And they're aware of this, Ryan, on property. That's the thing that's the most amazing. I mean, even Paul Azinger said in the telecast, hey, we know more than the fans out there really do. And then, lo and behold, after it's over with, no, those people in the grandstands knew what the heck was going on.
Oh, they knew. And I think because of social media and because of the devices that they hand out here, people can listen to a radio broadcast on their ear, you know, like a headphone for free. So a lot of the people who were walking around the golf course today knew what Dustin Johnson was facing. They might not have known all the ins and outs if they're kind of amateur golf fans or new to the sport. But they knew that not the fix was in, but that this wasn't on the level.
Yeah.
And I think that made him extremely sympathetic. And when he walked up 18th fairway and a bevy of fans chanted, DJ, 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 I've not heard that as major in a long time, where you chant someone's name walking up the last, like hell yeah, DJ, you got him. Not the field, you got the USGA, you got whatever BS they threw at you. And like you said, I've never thought of it, and we'll still not think of Dustin Johnson as a marketable guy. I mean, he just has too many ums, you knows, and all that, and too kind of chill of a demeanor.
Yes.
To be a marketable guy, but he is sympathetic and now marketable because of what happened to him and what he overcame here today.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And it was, again, a perfect storm for Dustin Johnson to walk through into victory circle for the first time in his career and erase a lot of question marks about what happened. There are more question marks to come, I think, within the game, the sport, and one of its governing bodies as we move into the week and beyond. He's Ryan Ballingy. I am Will Haskett. This is GNN Live. We'll focus more on Dustin Johnson's victory. We'll also talk about a couple of those that came up short in another pursuit of a major as this 2016 U.S. Open is in the books. More with you coming up after this.
Ever dreamed of a way to video chat one-on-one with famous former athletes, coaches, and other big names in the sports world? Well, now you can with a brand new online communication service called Talk to Legends. The Talk to Legends mobile platform is available right now for free in the iOS Apple Store. And now the Talk to Legends mobile app is available in the Google Play Store. And it puts you just a couple of clicks away from connecting by video to your sports heroes in a 5-minute person-to-person conversation on your iPhone or iPad. Yes, it's as easy as registering and then picking a time to talk to your legend. There are hundreds of former athletes from all sports, including the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, college sports, the Olympics, MMA, and more. And they're ready to talk to you in a scheduled video conversation through Talk to Legends. No matter what device or tablet, just go into the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Talk to Legends app. It's time for you to talk to legends.
Man, the blood pressure is still pumping. Will Haskett back with you, GNN Live, Ryan Ballingy alongside. We were talking in the break about how we're still sort of fed up with what happened, but we don't want this show, nor do we want the full conversation on the back end of this 2016 U.S. Open to be about one controversial rules decision that thankfully didn't have anything to do with what transpired down the stretch. Dustin Johnson wins. He wins by 3 officially, 4 under par. It was a masterful week for DJ. And we'll get into what that means for him coming up here in just a second. But as we like to do in our agree or don't agree sort of segment within this program, Ryan, I'll keep these sort of brief and quick and just sort of allude to it with the other sort of storylines that were out there. Jim Furyk finishes in a tie for second. You know, I think it's easy for us to agree. I mean, that's the second most important golf story of the week behind Dustin Johnson winning is what Furyk did today in this week.
Well, I think I lost you, buddy.
Oh, you there? Yeah, I got you back, I think.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
Furyk's performance.
Okay, and we can play that together. I thought one of the more powerful moments of the day, other than Johnson winning, was what Furyk did on 18. I know it was a bogey, but he made a tricky six-footer, a lot like the putt that Dustin Johnson made for birdie to capstone this thing. And when he made the putt, the fans got up to cheer for him. And they knew he had accomplished something to shoot 56 in the final round to put up a score at 1 under par. They knew it wasn't going to be good enough, and he knew it wasn't going to be good enough. But for him, it was an opportunity to say thank you to the people who supported him all week. He said afterwards, there were every town in Western Pennsylvania was calling him, all kinds of places from where he was from, you know, Lancaster and the general area, just kind of in the south central part of Pennsylvania, and he put his hand over his heart and kind of beat it a couple times against his chest and took his hat off to the fans. I think he knows this is the last opportunity he's going to have to play in this championship in his home state, because the next time we see it here is 2025.
Yeah,
and he's probably not going to play. He could never play anything past Jim Furyk, I suppose, but I think he knows this was goodbye, and it meant a lot to him, you can tell.
Agree or don't agree, Sergio Garcia and Lee Westwood will neither win a major.
I think today's encouraging for Garcia. And I know he didn't win, but you look at the back-to-back bogeys of 14 and 15, kind of the soul crusher. But he was just worried against the freaking lip of the bunker. And there was no choice for him on the second half of that back-to-back. In one sense, he could keep that narrative, woe is me, all the bad things happened to me. But in one sense, he's got to feel pretty good. He shot 70 in the final day of a major at Oakmont in really difficult conditions. If you look at the guys on the board today that finished in the top 14, you know, half of them were under par, and the other half were over par, except for Garcia and Lowry. He was even par. So he hung in there against the leaders. He just had too much to overcome between Dustin Johnson and Shane Lowry. And he should be proud of where he finished. I think I spoke with him very briefly after the fact. I think he kind of feels good about where he is, but he also is disappointed knowing that he kind of let this one slip away a little bit.
Okay, there was a lot of Twitter conversation, especially from the Irishmen that are out there in support of Shane Lowry after the 76 in the final round. A lot of them saying, look, he's going to win a major. His time is sort of coming. We hear it all the sort of time. But this today, to me, has to leave a lot of battle scars. I know that Dustin Johnson did what he had to do to win that golf tournament, but 76 from Lowry, and it looks skittish from the beginning. This one's going to take a while, I think, to get over.
I think it will in a sense, but you also have to remember this was his first 54-hole lead of any importance in his career.
Yeah.
This is a learning opportunity. And I know he thought he probably had a good chance to win, but the putting magic just went away. Everything that got him here went away in the final round. He had terrible putt throughout the course of the back nine, and it bit him, bogeying three in a row to go from in it to out of it pretty quickly. I mean, he makes the birdie on 12. You think, okay, we're here we go. A par on 13, a bogey on 14, 15, and 16. And at that point, it's academic. It didn't really matter at that point what he did the rest of the way. Again, it's like Garcia in a different sense. This is your first crack at it. You can't think it's never going to happen, but you got to figure you got yourself here. That's a big step forward for Lowry. Justin Johnson went through a lot of steps of putting himself there before he got there, so maybe he can take solace from the guy that wound up winning, that you might have to do this a few times before you get where you want to go. And he has the game to do it. He has the moxie and the attitude to do it. It's just a matter of putting it all together for 4 days and on a golf course like Oakmont. You can't have just 54 really good holes. You need 72 really good holes. And he didn't have that today.
Yeah, I don't think this will be a question that we'll be able to answer for a little while, but I think it's really the fitting final question when we discuss the big picture type stuff from this 2016 U.S. Open, and that is this, Ryan. Is Dustin Johnson winning the U.S. Open good for the game of golf?
You can go a lot of different ways about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about the week. I mean, Ryan, before you even answer, think about what this week was and everybody calling shenanigans on the RNA and everybody saying that the ball really isn't going as far and length isn't as big of a deal and yada, yada, yada. I mean, it's kind of a very interesting dichotomy to have him be the champion, and then we've talked about the marketability. I think it's an interesting question. I mean, personally, okay, great. I'm glad DJ got over the hump. But from a game of golf standpoint, we know it was a bad day for the game of golf, but that's the USGA's doing, not DJ's doing. But long term, is a DJ win good for the game?
I think in for the good of the game sense and the USGA sense, it is good because it is another guy that's an athlete that won this championship, just continues that string of guys who hoist the trophy, who look like they are an athlete. I think that helps golf a little bit with younger kids. So in terms of inspiring future generations, he might not be the most marketable guy, but for a teenager, I go, hey, that guy won the U.S. Open. He has a kid with Paulina Gretzky. That's not bad. That's pretty good. That's
true.
Something to aspire to.
That's true.
From that perspective, I don't think Dustin Johnson winning is a good thing for golf. Now, you know, it is interesting in the context of the paper that the USGA and the RNA put out, which is absolute BS, and we'll have something on the site about that in the coming days once the goodwill period ends here at Oakmont about the true nature of the data and what it really says and all that stuff. But it is kind of disconcerting probably if you're the USGA that the longest guy won easily.
And he,
that, I mean,
Yeah, and
if that doesn't tell you something about the golf ball, I don't know what does.
And he had a decided advantage too, Ryan. I mean, I would say that Dustin Johnson deserved to win the tournament because of his talent more so than the way that he necessarily played this week. I mean, he played really well in the first round. But look, he had some squirrely wedges in the final round, and he still felt like it was a different golf course that he was playing. Yeah, their championship really fed into the hands of a couple of guys, and those couple of guys didn't necessarily play their best golf tee to green through the course of the week. I mean, a guy like Scott Piercy probably played better golf. He just didn't have the opportunity. He's a long hitter, by the way, but he didn't have the same opportunity that DJ had to probably win the championship.
Absolutely. And DJ had so much confidence to hit what amounts to a baby cut, which really isn't his thing, obviously.
No.
And with that wrist at the top, but he hit a baby cut that still went every bit of 320 and when he needed it. And it landed soft, and if you wanted to hit it hard, he could do that too. And that, like you said, well, made it a different golf course. I mean, this course is only 7,200 yards. For Dustin Johnson, it played like a 6,900-yard golf course, and he could just take advantage when he wanted. I know it was a little softer in the fairways than probably the USGA would like, but he could have done this anyway. He could have played this style of golf no matter what. And I think that tells you something about technology, tells you something about the conditioning of these guys in part, but I think there is reason to be concerned that the last three winners here were arguably the longest guy in the field at Oakmont. Els way long in 94, Cabrera huge in 07, and same year with Dustin Johnson, and he didn't even need driver really to get around this place to do what he did.
Yeah. No, it's a great point. All right, Ryan, we'll have a lot of follow-up stuff. I know I'm writing about Fox's coverage in year two. I actually gave them a passing grade. People can read that coming up this week on Golf News Net. And the USGA fallout, the Dustin Johnson victory. We've got a million different ways to go. It'll be wall-to-wall content, I'm sure, on the site. And you just get to keep right on working, my friend.
We'll just keep on churning. They've got game seven on here in the media center. So we'll see if we get a winner. Sooner than later, Cavs and the Warriors, and then we'll pound out a few more stories and call it a day.
And Steph Curry thought he got a bad call a couple of days ago. I don't think anybody can now size up to DJ's bad call today. But anyway, I digress. Hey, Ryan, great work all week. Dry out the shoes. I heard you won the lottery. Good luck playing the old girl on Monday, and we'll talk down the line.
Thanks, Will. Hopefully, pray for breaking 90.
That's Ryan Ballingy. This is Golf News Net Live. Appreciate you being with us. We appreciate you sticking it out through a long week. We didn't even anticipate getting this thing done when the weather hit on Thursday, but it ends on time on a Sunday. Dustin Johnson, your champion. It wasn't without controversy, but wins by three to become the United States Open champion in 2016. For Ryan Ballingy, I'm Will Haskett. Wall-to-wall coverage here on Golf News Net.